Ciao ragazzi, it's Carmen here alongside Serena from the Napoli Club of Toronto, and welcome to the Feed Me the Vesuvio podcast, a show where we talk about all things Napoli, our club, Serie A, and culture in general. So let's sit back, relax, and talk about that.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Feed Me the Vesuvio podcast. And it's been a while, admittingly. I'm going to touch on this before we actually get into what we want to talk about is our last podcast with Joe Porco from Calcio Fan Blogs and new podcast owner himself for the Three Calciatiers. Something, I don't know what happened. We filmed, we recorded. It was a great episode, I thought. We only talked about two topics, and the podcast was actually going to come out in two parts. Where the first part, we were going to talk about the Napoli-Juve scandal, because this was a couple weeks ago and it was still kind of fresh when we got the results. And the second part of the podcast that we would have released was going to be on the Italian national team and how they had performed during that international break. Great podcast. Total runtime was somewhere around, let's say, about an hour, 20 minutes, split up into two parts. So it's not everything at one time. You can come back to it whenever. But in the transferring of the file, downloading the recording, something happened. It corrupted. We lost the files. We tried our best to recover it, but it was just couldn't happen. But no need to worry. We're going to re-record, or not re-record. We're going to record another podcast. We're just going to reschedule with Joe. We're going to have another podcast with him. And if you want to go take a look at his social media and all that sort of stuff, we'll provide all that information on the link below. So go check him out at Calcio Fan Blogs and at the Three Calciatiers. Everything will be posted down in the descriptions below, so don't worry about it. Now, onto this podcast. This is it's going to be finally, after the many weeks we have been fretting over that Napoli-Juve scandal, we're finally going to be talking about the games, and strictly the games, The recent games that Napoli have been playing.
In a few days, it'll be relevant again when the court announces it goes to court on November 8th, I think. So it'll be relevant again. But For now, we'll just talk about the last few games that Napoli's played.
Mm-hmm. And where do you want to start off from? Do you want to go to the...
Let's go to Benevento.
Benevento game?
We'll touch briefly because those ones are a little bit like foggy in my mind, like just trying to remember.
Mm-hmm. But
Benevento was kind of the first game, that first half against Benevento, other than the playing against AZ or whatever.
We should start from there, because I think if we start from there, we can work our way to what today's game was.
I mean, if you can start from there, I literally, like, that game was one of those games where, like, right after, I was like, you know what? I just, like,
tried
to forget it right away.
All right. Well, if you want me to start off.
So, yeah, if you want to start off with the
All right. Basically, I may jot some memories now when we're about the AZ game. So, we were going into this game. AZ had... Let me think of the number. I should have pulled this up. I should have got this research done beforehand. 13. But I want to say 13.
Yeah, 13, they had lots. They had lots of COVID cases.
They had 13 COVID cases. Now, let me make this clear. AZ is not a team that you can take lightly. They're not. The Dutch league, the top 3-4 teams in the Dutch league, decent teams. PSV, AZ, and Ajax. All solid teams, all of them. So you can't take them lightly, per se. You could take them a little bit lighter as if you were playing, Inter, or if you're playing like a Man United. You can take them a little bit lighter than that, but still, you can't take them lightly. And they made us pay. And there's one thing that I got to say about that game is that Reno got outclassed. That's the first time this season that we saw Reno get outclassed.
It's got plain and simple. A few times after, or one time after.
A couple times. He just got outclassed.
See, the problem with Napoli and the Europa League I think, is that Napoli plays these teams, right? These relative small teams. And they go into them like, first off, the tactics are wrong. Even today, the tactics are wrong. Like, but that's another conversation we'll get into. But you got to understand, for you, for Napoli as a team, for the team that's fielding, like being fielded, you know that you're like you're rotating the team. It's like a bench players, things like that. So they kind of go into games like this laxed. But you got to understand, if you're these Napoli players, if you're Gattuso, that this game that's like a whatever game in the group stage of the Europa League, it's is the game of the season for these little teams. So they're going, and it's like a tryout for them. Like they're like, wow, we're playing Napoli. Like this is the game of the year. Like, you know, like we got to show up. So you got Napoli that's like lackadaisical, half sleeping. And then you got this team that's been preparing probably for weeks and is playing the game of their lives. So,
yeah,
you know, these aren't like house league players. They're still professional footballers. So you got to show up to the games.
Yeah, you have to. You definitely have to have that mentality.
I think that's why Napoli doesn't have success in Europa League, to be honest.
It's the mentality, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I could agree with that. The mentality is definitely off, especially when you're, like you said, you're going into this game with relatively smaller sides than your squad. You are going into this with, I think Napoli's also going into these games with a complex that they're the superior team and they are owed something from that game. The game owes them something. The game owes you nothing. The game doesn't owe you anything. The game owes you whatever you deserve. That's what the game owes you. So if you're going into this with the wrong mentality to start off with, which, you know what, surprisingly, like, I didn't think a team with Reno as the manager would go into any game that lightly, but it seemed like against AZ they did. They knew that they were depleted. Excuse me. They had 13 players, most of them starters. Like, they were significant players that were missing this match, and I think Napoli just they thought, hey, it's probably a walkthrough. We can probably walk through them at this point, but no, AZ. You're right. I can't remember the coach's name, but he probably sat down for weeks and studied Napoli's plays. He studied that 4-2-3-1 like the back of his hand.
Listen,
he studied it like the back of his hand.
100%. I'm gonna get into this because I want to get into this because this is the main thing I want to talk about today. And like once I get this off my chest, I'm good. Gattuso, starting from that game, has messed up. No, I wouldn't say the formation because the formation is the same formation, but the style is he's went back to last year's style, which is very
slow, like,
very negative, very slow. That they don't want to take on players. They'd rather pass it back with the goalie, with the defenders, and they're not. I don't know how to explain it. Like they're not thinking positive. They're thinking negative. Napoli, the first few games of the season, when they were scoring 5, 4, 6 goals, they were Lozano sees a player or Osimhen is facing a player. He's trying to beat defenders. The last few games, Napoli does not even try to, like, it's like they're scared of defenders, and you're playing these small teams. Like, that's maybe a mentality that you might have against like a bigger team. These small teams will love you. They love you when you do that. Okay, you want to keep the ball? No problems. We're gonna park 11 guys back here. Keep the ball there. No problems. You guys don't want to try to attack and score goals? No problem. Exactly. Keep the ball. All the ball you want. We'll just counterattack you and we'll score it on the counterattack.
And you know what? AZ, like starting from that game, and then we'll get into Benevento, Real Sociedad, etc. Because it's the same trend throughout the board. AZ goes into this match. They said, okay, well, we don't have anyone. We're going to part. They played a 4-1-4-1, from what I remember. But the one CDM, he was almost playing like a mezzala, where he was dropping back into the center-back positions or he was pushing up. And that was all dependent on where Mertens was playing on the field, right? Mertens was always occupying a central role, trying to break the lines in between, and he always had that player, that Metzala CDM, I guess you can call him, right on top of him all game long. Not only that, he also blocked passing lanes into Osimhen, who also lackluster. He wasn't moving around a lot in the final third. But AZ came out. They said, all right, we're going to park 11 guys behind the ball. We're going to keep a tight formation, tight. We're not moving. 4-1-4-1, 4-5-1, whatever you want to call it, 5-4-1. It's all interchangeable. We're going to stay in this block, and we're not moving from that block, to the point where even the striker was playing at the 18-yard box. Yeah. Their striker, who's supposed to be playing towards the half-field line, maybe just past the circle, was playing at the 18-yard box and was playing the defense, to the point where it was like a 5-5 formation. Like, there was nowhere to go other than back, right? Yeah. But Napoli didn't help themselves in the fact that, first of all, passing was terrible.
No, it wasn't good. But they had their chances, though, right, Carmelo?
Yeah, they had their chances, but... Passing was terrible.
Osimhen scores that goal there. What was the other chance? Two other chances too.
They had a couple of chances.
Osimhen two times. Osimhen had the one open net, which how he ate that, I have no idea. Or no, that wasn't that game.
No, that wasn't that game.
Getting confused. So
that was the last game.
See, this is why it's not good that we did so far.
Yeah, it was.
I know.
They had a couple of chances. Petagna missed one.
Tanya, yeah, it's true.
Mertens 8-1 too.
I know
he did. It was chances, but the thing is, they were helping them out, and you can look at today's game too against can't even pronounce their name. There you go. I can't even pronounce their name, and yet we barely scraped by them with an own goal. So, anyways, we're just helping them out by playing, like you said, that style of play that I think they're being told to play is possession-based. But possession-based doesn't work if the other team is just dropping 11 guys behind the ball and saying, yeah, keep the ball. Just keep passing. It doesn't matter to us.
Keep it. You want to pass, but keep the ball up there. No problem. Exactly. Or every time that you look like you're going to come forward, you see a defender, you stop, you turn around, you pass back. Lozano can beat a defender. Insigne can beat a defender. Or at least, like, you know, try to go forward, do a passing play, 1-2, like, you know, like, or pass it to the middle and try to, like, you know, break the lines by dribbling.
Yeah.
You know, you draw one or two players out of position to try and stop you, and then that opens up space behind. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't so... static and so like just plain, like I don't know, it's bored. Like watching Napoli is like eating like dry chicken, like the last
year. Yeah. It gets boring. And another trend I've been seeing is that the counterattack. For some reason we cannot defend a counterattack, even if you put a gun to each of the defenders' heads.
Cooley had a bad game today.
Yeah, he did. He played well against the last match, which would have been
Sociedad.
Yeah, he played amazing during Sociedad. Yeah. He didn't play well during Sassuolo either.
No,
I don't know. He's been
honestly they gotta roll, like him and Mertens have to be rotated. You can tell that Mertens and Koulibaly are burnt.
Romani should have got a start somewhere in between those games.
A lot of these players.
But, yeah, exactly. Utilize them. But, okay, so the AZ game, like from what I remember from it, I'm going to start moving on from it.
Yeah.
Defensively, we can't play the way that we did, just passing the ball around. First of all, if you can't even connect two passes together, why even bother passing the ball around like that? That's a whole different story. AZ, when the time was opportune, and usually it was when the midfield would have the ball passing back towards the defense to try to cycle the ball, that's when they would press high and press hard and up, and that's when they caught us on the counter that led to the goal. They did that consistently every single time, and we were caught flat-footed every single play that happened. So we lose 1-0 to AZ. We go, all right, well, it's the first loss of the season on the field. On the field, let me specify that. It's a 1-0 loss. Reno got outclassed, so he has to go, okay, let me go back to the drawing board and see what I can come up with. Because what happened last game didn't work. So they go into the next game against Benevento. It was Benevento, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was Benevento.
Where we left off from the AZ game, we picked up with Benevento. Because it was the same thing. It was the same thing. And we let Benevento score first. It's just, it's unbelievable to me. And he scored from an angle that, it was a beautiful goal.
It was a nice goal.
Insigne's goal was Roberto Insigne's goal was a beautiful goal, but it's a goal that easily could have been stopped if the defense just paid a little bit more attention. That's all they have to do. They just let them sometimes, like again.
Which like I don't know. Sometimes we switch off so bad and we get burnt every time that we switch off.
Exactly.
I don't get it. Honestly, I don't get how this team so can. You know, when they're on, they look like they can beat anybody. And then some days it's just like, it's so wrong. It's so wrong. That game, yeah, like you said, we picked up almost like from the AZ game. I don't think if it wasn't for Insigne, like, and his little brotherly rivalry, I don't think we would win that game, to be honest. Because he's kind of who, like, you know, got that game going for us that made us win. And, yeah, even today when he came on, like, you know, it just feels like a different team when he's on. Like, he has that creative mindset. Like, he's not just looking. Like, Insigne is the only player that doesn't matter. When he gets the ball, the first way he looks is up to see if he can cross it into the box. Like, you know, like, he has that. He's always thinking positive. And then if he can't, he'll pass it back. But he's always, you know, a positive mind player.
Not only that, he always... If he can't pass, he has his options. His options are this. He takes the ball, he turns around, and he looks at who's in front of him. If the defense is in front of him, and he sees that he has maybe one or two guys on him, he'll take them on and try to drag them out of position.
Yeah.
If that can't happen, then he turns around and passes it back. And
but he's got up the field a little bit, right? And a Mario Rui.
Exactly, right? But at least his first two options wasn't to just turn around and pass the ball back like we saw with Lobotka today, which, oh my god, what a disaster that was in the midfield. Or Lobotka against, like, Sociedad.
Not a bad midfielder, but when we have Dem and Lobotka, like, it's just, especially with no one senior, just like, we just lack creativity. That's the
yes
problem.
That's
also the style thing. That we're playing doesn't matter, like, we don't have creativity in the style. Like, the style is I feel like what's impeding us. Like, Gattuso has to go back to what was working those first few games when literally, like, we were unstoppable. Like,
yeah.
Because all of our attackers were basically, it feels like Gattuso said, you know what, just go out and attack. Like, just go try to always go for the net. Like, you know, and teams weren't able to keep up with us.
No, especially with the pace that we have up front. If you put on, let me get this straight, because even when we have Insigne, even when Insigne is not playing, and we had Lozano Politano, they wreaked havoc. They wreaked havoc against Atalanta. Oh, yeah. So yes, Insigne is an important player for us, but when he's not there, we can make do. It's not that we can't succeed when he's not there, because we can and we have. It's just that, I don't know. I think after the AZ game, there was a change in mentality.
It's philosophy. Where
they got more timid in their play. Because before that, you're right. When they were attacking, first of all, their attack was completely different. The attack was much more direct, meaning long balls over the top, hit Osimhen, hit Lozano, hit Politano, hit whoever you can. Because there's four attackers up there. One doesn't get it, the other one will. Plus, let's say that one of them overshoots it. They have the pace to make up for their mistake, while the other ones have the equal amount of pace to keep up with them. The only one who doesn't have that same amount of pace anymore is Mertens. he doesn't need to have the pace. He's playing a trequartista. He has to know his positioning. Papu Gomez, yeah, he's fast, but the brilliance in his play comes from his positioning on the field, not from his pace, right? So when you have three attackers that are all skilled on and off the ball with a smart attacking player laying in behind them, and you're playing that direct game like they have in the first couple of games, you are unstoppable. You're a goal machine waiting to happen. Oh, yeah, and they were, right?
Hey, this is like not to say that, okay, the style that they've been playing, this possession, holding the ball, there's going to be games when you're going to have to do that. Or there's times in a game where you'll have to play like that. But I feel like playing 90 minutes like that, you'll never win a game. Like Napoli, Napoli has to maybe have like that possession game, but then switch on to okay, now we're going direct, like, and we're going to play direct for a few minutes. And then say we get a goal, two goals, then we'll try to sit back, possession, then we'll go again and we'll be more direct. Like, maybe during a game, like switching that up, like having different styles of mid game, or depending on the opponent. If you're playing a really strong opponent, maybe you're not going to risk too much going forward. You're going to try to first, play a little bit conservative and then maybe venture up, depending. Or I think when you're playing weaker oppositions or teams that you should be beating, like Sassuolo without Caputo and all these other players, like they should not come to Napoli and look like Pep's Barcelona and just totally play them into the dirt. But we let them. I don't know. We're our worst enemy.
We do. It's our games to lose, and we do. Yep. It's our games to lose, and we lose them because we allow them. We allow ourselves to lose. That's the only reason. And
I feel like those games were lost by Napoli more than they were won by the other teams. Maybe at Sassuolo, they
played. Sassuolo got outplayed. We got outplayed.
When we lose against an AZ and a team like that, that's us losing. That's us losing more than them winning. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree. And that's not to take away from AZ or other teams like that, because they came out and they executed their game plan to a T, to a point where it's admirable. Where you just got to look at yourself in the mirror and go, well, what the hell were we thinking?
They did their job
when we were coming to this game. They did their job, and they can. And like I said before, you can't go into the game thinking it owes you something. You get what you deserve. Nothing. The game doesn't owe you anything. So if you're going into the game thinking,
they need that mentality, dude. That killer mentality. That every game is we're playing the game of our lives. We have to go out there and just eat that team for dinner. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I thought would be Gattuso's mentality style. But now I'm seeing the slow. He loves playing this slow, boring soccer. Come on, dude, where's the intensity? Where's the heart? Where's the hustle? I thought a Gattuso team would have more of that, which they do at points, but last few games, terrible. It's been missing.
I mean, you definitely saw that in the latter portion of the Benevento game, for sure. That intense style of play, playing more direct, using Insigne vigorously throughout the entire game.
Yeah,
giving him the ball, making him use his creativity on and off the ball to get you the goals that you need, and he did. But then, you go into the next match, which is Real Sociedad. Mind you, Real Sociedad, first in La Liga, fantastic team. They are not to be taken lightly either.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one team where I think Gattuso had Gattuso had the right idea, not the right execution, in my opinion, in the way that game was played. Because, actually, I had screenshots of this game in my photos, and I was looking over it, looking over them when I had free time. And so he set up with two very defensive midfielders, Lobotka and Dem, Bakayoko and Dem, both defense-minded, possession-based midfielders, basically. So already, right off the bat, you're lacking creativity in the midfield, which I think is what he wanted, because Real Sociedad plays a very high line, very fast paced, very high intensity game. In fact, in the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, we were struggling to keep up with them because they were just relentless. They just kept pressing forward. They just kept pressing forward, overloading our center backs. They would throw four guys up top, right? They didn't care what was going on behind them. They just kept throwing guys up top, press them back, throw that ball back, win it back, right? So it's tough to play against a team like that. So, but then again, when you have those two defensive midfielders, you lack creativity that you need to counter. Because if the ball does get if you break through that first line, the lines behind them are obviously going to be weaker if they're relying so much on that front line, right? That front press, right? But you break that line and you don't have, let's say, Fabian out there who's more creative on the ball.
First pass. Yeah, that good first
You're
pass.
Missing that first pass, right? Not only that, then you put Lobotka as a number 10. Pure disaster.
I forgot about that.
Pure, like, utter disaster. I play a better 10, to be quite honest. That was just, it was brutal. He didn't know his positioning on the field. He didn't know where to be on the counters. He didn't know where to be in the final third. When he pressed the ball, he didn't know where to press, who to press, how to press. It was just, it was a disaster.
They're really screwed around with Gigi Dalessa, right? Like,
they made him look like an idiot.
I think Gigi Dalessa would have played better at 10.
I think so too, to be quite honest. Because that was just, like, that performance by him was just brutal. Not only that, because Lobotka was making mistakes, Bakayoko had to make up for him. And there goes your midfield. Now you're open all over the midfield. And that's how they just tore us apart all game. Like, consistently. They just ripped right through our midfield like as if they weren't there.
You know who saved us though that game? Khalidou Koulibaly. That was one of the best performances I've seen in a long time. Koulibaly.
I agree.
Yeah.
And he had to make Sociedad shut up a bit because they thought David Silva was better than Maradona, and Koulibaly had to say, "Listen, that's not how it is. this isn't how it is."
I was giving them so much props, but as soon as their coach said that, I was like, "Yeah, no."
That's such an arrogant statement. Yeah, Maradona wouldn't fit into this team. Maradona himself would have ran through your team. It didn't matter.
Definitely.
Yeah, that. But anyways, going back to that. Yeah, Napoli. Reno had a good idea to play more defensively and not allow Sociedad to play the way they wanted to play. It's just that the execution was not there because there was a lot of mistakes happening defensively that just opened up our midfield, and that's where Sociedad thrives, in that central midfield play. If you can't really stop that, luckily we did because Saint Khalidou Koulibaly stepped in to save us on the back line. We would have lost that game too. And I think we won that game on a counter, did we? 1-0.
Who scored? We scored on a counter.
It was on a counter. Right? So we literally
It was Politano. Politano cut in. And
he scored that banger. Yeah.
And it hit off the guy's head and it went in.
Yeah. Sometimes
you just gotta shoot, man. Like, you know, you never know.
How are you gonna score if you don't shoot the target?
Just put the ball in the box.
Someone's gonna get to it. Or if it takes deflection, maybe it goes in. Worst case scenario, you get a corner.
Even when they have Osimhen in the box, like, yo, like, just throw the ball in there. Like,
yeah.
Put him over the top, give him a cross. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't get the ball, but maybe the guy behind them gets it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, try it.
And that's another thing with, especially today, like, you have a big body in Padania in the box. Yeah. Throw the ball into the box.
Those center backs were monsters. Eh? They're butchers.
Yeah. They were a rough team.
The first 20 minutes, bro, they're turning everybody into Carlo. They're turning them all into Carlo Macinata. Like, they're just devouring them.
Yeah, they're a rough team, but they knew they had to play like that because otherwise they would have gotten eaten alive. They had to play a little bit dirty.
Oh, definitely.
But, yeah, if you have like Osimhen. Osimhen's not a small dude. Osimhen's I think like six foot, 6'1".
Yeah, but he's long. Like his legs are long.
Yeah, he's lanky. Like,
but he's won every ball in there. And he okay,
wins every ball in there.
Let me just that. I've seen a lot of people ripping on Osimhen, and honestly, it's like it really is pissing me off because it's like this kid is not bad. It's like he's a good kid and he's a good player. Like he might, yeah, he messed up that one chance. Yeah, he only has one goal. It's his first month and a half in Italy, and he's 21 years old.
Yeah,
like, he should have scored that goal. That one goal, yeah, okay.
He should have scored that goal.
But already, like you know, be drawing, you know. Milik comparisons and things like that, and I get that he had a high price tag, but like, well, you gotta have a little bit of patience and a little bit of faith, and you don't want to like, you know, kill this kid's confidence like right off the jump. Like, he's good. Like, if objectively, like you'll judge a striker by the goals, but if you look at his work rate and off the ball and the fact that he wins every header, like every he holds up the play so well, like,
yeah,
he's. He's done a lot more good than bad these first few games.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, we got to have a little bit of patience with him.
He's a project. He's a project. That's what he is. He's still very – he's raw in the way he plays. He's still very raw.
He has great potential, though. Like, he could be, like, one of the best strikers in the world. You could see it.
Yeah, exactly. You can see it. He's amazing. He's amazing dribbling. He can take defenders on one-on-one and beat them. He's got pace. He's physical on the ball. He can win aerial battles. Fantastic finishing. Sure, he only has one goal, but the one goal he has was a banger from outside the box, right? Yeah. So he has that potential.
He's got all the makings for a great striker. And you know, mind you, Italy is not an easy league to score. Like, it's...
No,
it's if you're going from the French league to Italy, you're that's a big step up in you know, defenders and things and you know, timing, and he'll get to speed pretty quick. And I think once he, like, you know, learns the language, things like that, similar to like what you saw with Lozano, like,
yeah,
hopefully not as long as that, but already you can see that he's starting to figure stuff out. So yeah.
Especially like his play, like you said, his play. I don't expect him to score 20-plus goals this year, but he will create more than what he scores just by the way he plays.
You could go ahead.
I was just going to say, he gives center backs a hard time.
Oh, definitely.
He makes them think. And as long as I said this many times before, and this is kind of the key to success if you're playing in the attacking positions, if you can make the defender think even just a little bit, you've already beat them. Because if you can get them to second guess what they're thinking, or if you get them to second guess what you're going to do or how you're going to play, you already have a step ahead of them. You could already beat them without even touching the ball or even touching the field. You've already set into their minds that this guy's potentially dangerous. I don't know what he's going to do. He could beat me in many different ways. I got to stay on my toes. And that's when you beat them already, right? Oh, and he has that.
Those first few games, he, like Mertens, he's create. He, like when they were playing that style, how they were playing, he opened up a lot of room for Mertens. Mertens got those few goals, and I feel like that was off of, you know, Osimhen's back, because Osimhen had like two center backs on him, and in front of him is Mertens, who has all the space to just shoot the ball in the net. Like, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, so,
And if Mertens is cut down, then you have Lozano or Politano opened up as well, right? So there's unlimited options just by that one player.
Yeah, because you can't just, like, you can't just mark him one guy. Like, one guy can't just mark Mark Osimhen. Like, he needs both center backs on him, probably, or two players at least to take him on.
You know, I think that's what teams started to figure out. Like you saw it today versus he didn't play today. That's Petagna. But let's just say the rules were very similar, and the way that Petagna was being marked today was 2-3 guys on him at all times, right? Very little space for Petagna to move or to do something when he got the ball. Same with Osimhen against AZ, where he had 2-3 guys on him all at one time. Same with Benevento. Benevento wasn't as tight of a match in terms of marking, but even then, he still had two guys marking him or keeping an eye on him at all times, keeping an eye on his positioning and where he's moving. So, yeah, that's – but going back to it, like, with the style of play that we were playing before, like you said, in the early games, Genoa-Atalanta, all those games, that works to your advantage because you're playing a direct, fast-paced game towards defenders. You're making them – like, I said this today – I said this today to you when we were texting, right? I said, if you're playing direct and you're playing fast towards the defense, you're not backing up or passing or cycling the ball, passing back. If you're playing towards the defense, direct, fast pace, you force the one, at least one or two players to make a play. You force them to come out and defend you. And that's where you open up space in behind.
Exactly. You're just gonna rag the ball. They're just gonna stay in their position.
Exactly. You have to play at them. There's no other way around it. And that's when you open up the space behind. And when you have players like Osimhen, Lozano, Insigne, Mertens, Petagna, etc., these players are perfectly suited for that style of play because you're playing direct. They're skilled. They're fast. They're good on the ball as well as off the ball. You can tear through defenses just by playing in that with that sort of style of play rather than what we've been seeing the last couple of games. That's all I got to say about that.
Let's hope you see that soon.
Yeah. And next match we have Bologna. By the way, we did the Far From Vesuvius. You know how we're in that pool? The pool between all the podcasts where we have to we have to call the games, right? Say the scores, who wins. So this week's a banger of a week, by the way. Thanks Rafa and for picking out these teams because we got Atalanta Inter, then we got Napoli Bologna to choose from.
Okay. Are we gonna make our prediction?
That's a banger of a week, man.
Are we gonna do it now?
We can do it. We can do it right now because, like, when I was watching the draw when Far From Vesuvius went live and started doing the draw, in my mind I'm like, all right, don't pick these matches because these are really hard to call. Plus, I already have anxiety watching Napoli play. I don't need that extra stress if I got the score right or not. It's a whole mess, but it's fun. It's really fun. So.
So are we the only ones doing that? Like doing that those two games?
No, everyone's doing it. Everyone's got to call them. Remember? Everyone's got to call them. Remember?
So Atalanta-Inter.
Atalanta-Inter, yeah.
So you do one and I do one. So you want to do the Napoli one? I'll do the Inter one. Inter Atalanta.
Here's what I'll do. I don't have a coin here. I was gonna flip a coin to see who gets what. Do you have a coin?
I can just ask Siri. Okay, what are you calling, heads or tails?